For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Blocked down by Connelly and laid back out of harm's way by Armstrong. Thrown back by Connelly. Carried on by Paye. Drops to Connelly again. Looks over the traffic. Fed one across. A shot by Connelly. Scores!
That's up there. That's pretty good. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, Jeremy's off today. Friday, 9 o'clock.
Wouldn't it be something if we all agreed the best moment in the stadium wasn't Bills related?
My favorite stadium memory is when the Rolling Stones were there.
Yeah.
The Grateful Dead concert in 80, whatever, 90.
Yeah. There's not a lot of concerts, though. We'll get to Kevin Payne coming up here. Talk some fantasy. This is a personal top five moment. It might even be, could it be my number one? I think I get a big eye roll for calling it my number one, but I got a hockey one to get to. Dan in Florida, continuing on the Winter Classic one, though. Go ahead, Dan, because hey. I think that's got to be on, it's got to be like a top five for most people.
Yeah, so Torpedo Dan first. But, remember, 2008, the Bills are still in the drought. Our team's good. I know it's a long time ago. Remember when the Sabres were good. But, this city was enamored with this team. And I think we're so numb to it now, 16 years later, because there's a Winter Classic every year and there's multiple outdoor games every year.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
NHL comes up with a new concept. They put it in Buffalo. They put it in the Ralph. January 1st, the weather was perfect. I was in the 300s. I still remember looking up and seeing the lightest snowfall. And 16 years later, I still tell myself I was in a snow globe. The NHL couldn't have asked for a better stage, better fans, better weather. And obviously Miller, Crosby, the shootout, to me, the outcome didn't even matter. The fact that we lost, a lot of people probably don't remember. We lost 2-1 in the shootout.
Mm-hmm.
But again, just the ambiance and the atmosphere. And don't get me wrong, guys. There's a ton of magical Bills moments, current year, current era as far as playoff moments. You guys brought up 51-3, greatest comeback. But, man, that was a special day for Buffalo. The world got to see us, and it was just amazing. So I don't know how you top that. Even the next 2 years, even if we win AFC championship at home and go to the Super Bowl, I still know how you top such a magical, special moment. It was one of a kind at the time.
Yeah, great call, Dan. The Winter Classic being on this list. I was not at the Winter Classic. I'm sure if I was, it would be above this for me. But on
not
my
being
list,
there is tough. Yeah.
On my list is going to be the World Junior outdoor game between Team Canada and Team USA in 2018.
Yeah, I was there. It was on my birthday.
Yeah, that was kind of the same snow globe effect. The only difference was it was freezing because it was also at night.
Casey Mittelstadt,
right. Yeah, and I remember tailgating for that and being in the minority. It was a Canadian takeover of that stadium. I mean, there were a bunch of U.S. fans, too, but it was a very cool – I don't know how many Buffalo – when the Leafs come to town, I guess once a year you get this, but dueling fan bases was a really cool thing. And the game went great. Team USA had a comeback. The only thing I didn't like about that game is that Team USA wore Bills jerseys.
Yeah,
that was a little strange. That would be on my list. I don't know that I put it number one for my favorite stadium memory, but that's worth mentioning here, too. But the Winter Classic, I'm sure, is going to be a lot of people's number ones. 803-0550. We'll keep rolling through some calls here in the 9 o'clock hour on this question. Brian Mazurowski tweeted about it down the hall about the current stadium and whether or not the greatest moment you've had there is going to come in the next 2 years, or if what your number one already is can't be topped. Let's get some fantasy in. Kevin Payne, RotoWire, now on the Wester Hotline. I had a big draft last night, FFPC. I got another big draft this weekend that I'm going away for. So very happy to talk to Kevin here. And I don't, Kevin, before we get to some fantasy, do you have an answer for this? Like what your at the stadium number one memory would be or moment, if you even have one?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Because no. Let me explain, and then this will make sense really quick. The last two games I have been to, the Bills, I think they were both Monday night games. It was when Brady Quinn and the Browns came in, and they lost last second, and then the Terrell Owens Cowboys came in, and it was close to the same thing. Those are the last two games I've been to at the stadium.
I mean,
have not, other than preseason games. I am going tomorrow.
Other
than preseason games, I have not been back. But I'm not a superstitious guy by any means, but those have been the last two games I've been to. And I just feel like unless the perfect situation arises, I'm sure I'll get back there for a real game at some point. But no joke, those are the last two games I've been to.
What a last two games to be at. That's the – are we talking about the Cowboys Monday night game where Romo throws five interceptions and they still win?
And they still won. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Something like that. Yep. It was all the way back then. I think it was like one of his first years, I believe, as the quarterback. But those were the last two games, and it was. And they had the game. It looked like they had the game won multiple times.
That's
pretty rough.
We got to figure out a way to get Kevin to a game. We can't have that be your last Bills game. Yeah. At the stadium.
No, it won't be. It
that's
won't
tough.
Be sure. I'm sure I'll get back there. At some point. I also will say, on a positive note, my daughter won the Section 6 championship there this year.
Okay.
And for Clarence, for flag football. So that would definitely be my best moment at the stadium.
Thank you for bringing that up also, because that's going to spark a memory for me. That's very cool, your daughter winning a game there, because I played a game there in high school. I can talk about that a little bit later on with Orchard Park 10 years ago, 12 years ago now. Anyways, talking some fantasy here, Kevin Payne, RotoWire, at KC Payne 26, now on the Wester Hotline. So, Kevin, there are a couple things I wanted to get to with you, starting with the Bills specifically, as we get closer and closer to the regular season. We're less than 2 weeks away from the opener. How do you see the Bills' room now for fantasy with this Curtis Samuel injury? Or are you treating it, it's a turf toe injury, it's week to week, so you know we're kind of up in the air when he'll be back. If you had a draft this weekend, like I do, so you know, kind of cheating here a little bit by asking you, but if you had a draft this weekend, how are you moving the Bills receivers based on this Curtis Samuel injury?
Yeah, so for me, the way that I would have them, I would probably stay away from Samuel altogether as far as fantasy goes. Turf toe injuries do tend to linger. That's why I'd be a little bit apprehensive. I mean, I did like the upside with him. I did not think that he's been used properly over the last couple of seasons. And I think the Bills definitely are going to go ahead and get him very involved in this offense. I would probably rank the receivers right now. Keon Coleman, I think he's got the most upside. I think I talked a little bit about this last time I was on. Khalil Shakir, you take a look at him. He's gotten a lot of buzz, and rightfully so, given what he did over the last part of the season. But nationally, people are talking about him as, you know, whenever they come out with their sleeper picks, he's one of the guys that they're talking about. But I'll tell you what, I've heard nothing but great things about Matt Collins. I had a brother who went to camp. He's watching me, goes, Kevin, the guy just caught everything that was thrown his way. So if I was drafting, I would go Keon Coleman, Shakir, and Matt Collins. The problem with Collins is he's the third receiver. You still have Kincaid. You still have Knox. It's a real crowded room. In fantasy, at one point in time, I did a league where you got like the group of running backs, you got the whole team's group of receivers, you got the whole team's group of tight ends. I would take the Bills' whole group of receivers, but it's really going to be tough, I think, to pinpoint which guy is going to be consistent week in and week out. But again, if you told me I had to pick one guy, I would go Coleman. But my order for at least the receivers would be Coleman, Shakir, and then Matt Collins at this point.
Yeah. The guy I have drafted the most of, and I think I like my whether I'm doing my underdog drafts or I had a draft last night where I did this, I feel like I'm leaving almost every draft with Dalton Kincaid. I don't know if that's going to hold up now that I get to some of my home leagues where Bills will typically go a little higher. But it's not just about Kincaid for me, Kevin. It's I kind of feel nervous to not pick one of the top five, six tight ends this year. What has your strategy been like for tight ends this season, where it kind of feels like there's a tier break? Maybe it's after Kincaid for you. Maybe it's after somebody else. But what's your strategy been overall for tight ends this offseason?
Yeah, I basically waited. And I'll tell you this. I think that we're going to see a decline from Travis Kelce. I can see the headlines already that a certain blonde singer is going to be blamed for it. But, you know, the fact of the matter is he's not getting any younger. And I would personally draft Sam Laporta in a heartbeat over Travis Kelce. But you're talking about guys, if you're doing a snake draft, that are going in the second and third round. For me, that's a little too early for tight end. You can get Mark Andrews in the fourth round. You got guys like, as you said, Kincaid, Trey McBride, George Kittle. I find myself getting Kyle Pitts because I don't think enough people are talking about this Atlanta offense. Kirk Cousins, I just think there's going to be a great season in store for Kyle Pitts. Finally, it seems like we've all been talking about him for seasons. So if I'm going to take somebody early, I would take him. Another guy, a late-round guy that I would go ahead and take a look at as well, Colby Parkinson for the Rams. Mm-hmm. Love to go to their tight end. Tyler Higbee is coming back from an injury. They're not exactly sure when he's going to come back. So he's a super late guy that you can go ahead and take a look at. And then Taysom Hill, too. He's been getting some carries near the goal line. Jamal Williams went from 17 touchdowns in Detroit to two last year or something like that. And we've seen them go ahead and use Taysom Hill as a running back a lot. So he's not only could catch passes, but possibly be the running back. Alvin Kamara at this point looks like he's basically going to be a receiver out of the backfield. So basically I'm staying away from Travis Kelce. I do have interest in Sam Laporta, but he just seems to be going a tad early for me. So like if I'm going to wait, the guy I'm taking there kind of in that second tier that you're talking about is going to be Pitts. Kittle too. Kind of had a bad year for me. And you know I have him in the league that you and I are in, Schoep's league. I was really disappointed in the season he had. I thought he was going to do better things last year. He also is not a spring chicken. He's starting to go, you know, getting to an age where there's going to be an inevitable decline. So Kyle Pitts is kind of that guy that I've been taking in those kind of middle to, you know, round five to seven, something like that.
So Pitts is a good launching off point here because I wanted to ask you about the Atlanta Falcons offense. Guys, we don't really know what it's going to look like in regular season games. Yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago, I saw a report. I think it was from a team reporter talking about how, you know, Tyler Allgeier is going to get his touches and maybe even more so in the red zone. Where are you with, like, if you're in a position to draft any of these Atlanta Falcons? Bijan's going pretty high.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All these drafts, so maybe Bijan aside, is it Pitts? Is it Drake London? Who's sort of your go-to, maybe pass catcher in this Atlanta offense with Kirk Cousins at the helm?
Yeah, I know. It's to me, it's just the nobody's talking about it. And as I said, I think this might be a little bit of a sleeper team because of Kirk Cousins. Drake London is going to be a great target. So if you go ahead and take a look, he's there late second, early third round. So let's say you go running back early, which I've seen a lot of people do. There's nothing wrong with that. Love getting Drake London. He's got to go ahead and improve on the two touchdowns last year. I definitely pencil him in for at least 6 to 8. There's possibly upside for more, but I think you're happy with 6 to 8 and seeing the jump from 900 receiving yards to maybe 11 or 1,200 receiving yards. That goes ahead and makes up for if you miss out on one of those early wide receivers. You've got basically, after Christian McCaffrey, I mean, you've got Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. If you miss out on those four big guys, there's nothing wrong with taking Drake Lamb at the end of the second, early third round. So he would be another guy I'd be interested in. And as I said, Pitts too. Those would be the two guys I would take a look at. Bijan, and as you said, is going really high. I've seen him go as high, I think, as number like 4 or 5 overall. I mean, he's really seen him go that high. And then in most, it's still he's not making it out of the first round. There's no way that that's happening. So he might be there at 8 or 9. No problem taking him there either. But I really believe that this is, offense is underrated, not really getting enough attention in the fantasy world.
Yeah, it is interesting to look at the different sites too, and like what ADP is at different sites. Where like Bijan, his average draft position is 5th at ESPN and at Sleeper, but it's 8th at NFL.com. So sometimes, like when we mention average draft position, you know, if you're a player, like be sure you know where you're playing, because there can be some variance in where guys are being picked based on, like, Puka Nacua, Kevin, is going, maybe NFL.com is a little off on some of this stuff, because he's going 11th on NFL.com and 16th overall in Sleeper, so you can get some differences for sure. Atlanta, interesting, because they got a lot of guys going high. What about Green Bay? I asked you about Green Bay earlier in the offseason. As the offseason's gone on and ADP's changed a little bit as drafts have gone here, who's your favorite Packer target? If you if you're looking at somebody's going to step up, somebody is going to lead that team in targets and receptions and a good offense, who are you betting on?
Yeah, well, first of all, there's nothing wrong with taking Jordan Love. I really think the sky's the limit. We haven't seen, you know, the best out of him yet. They've got so many different guys, though. It's kind of like what we talked about with the Bills between Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jalen Reed, and Devontae Wicks, I think, had a nice touchdown or a long touchdown during one of the preseason games. So he's a guy to keep an eye on as well. I don't know. I think it's just going to come down to who is sitting there at one point. Is there going to be a guy that's going to be a really good value between Watson and Doubs? I think Watson's still going to be the guy that you want to go ahead and take. And again, he's the type of guy that is – both those guys are going extremely late. The problem with Watson is, you know, wasn't healthy all last year. That's a little bit of a red flag. So I guess if I'm going to pick between the two, I would take Romeo Doubs, who's probably going 30 or 40 spots later, just because you saw the touchdowns last year. He had 8 of them, 674 receiving yards. And what I like best, too, is coming out of the bye last year, just four touchdowns in 5 games after that. Really think he's still going to be a big part of this offense. So I would say that if I had a pick, I would pick Romeo Doubs, and he would probably end up being my 3rd wide receiver as late as he's going, maybe even the 4th wide receiver, a bench guy. So one of those guys is definitely going to step up. So I like the situation for Watson. But I just think he's going too high. I would rather take Doubs at a couple rounds later.
Sure. Kevin Payne wrote a wire on the Wester hotline. Every year, Kevin, there's always, well, not, I guess not every year, but a lot of years there's a top rookie, right? Last year it was Bijan, Breece Hall the year before that. I remember when Najee came out, he was a really, really high pick. Saquon, you know, when you get the first round running back, it often is somebody that goes really high in fantasy because running backs can play and do well right away. This year, going back to the draft a little bit, like there wasn't really a top guy. And Jonathan Brooks, who many considered to be the top guy, has this injury that he's dealing with. So do you have a favorite rookie running back target? Because every year, again, there's going to be somebody that breaks through right away. This year, though, it might be a little harder to figure out than ever before.
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of guys, and I'll tell you, I wrote a preseason article as far as waiver wire, because people have already had drafts. Also included, you know, some good late round picks of guys I like. Two guys that I would take a look at, well, actually 3 that I wrote about. Dylan Lobb from Las Vegas. He's going to handle the pass catching duties behind Zamir White. So in PPR leagues, and I would only go target him in full point PPR leagues, I think he's going to have some value. Isaac Garendo. I mean, right now, literally the top 4 running backs of the depth chart for the San Francisco 49ers are all dealing with injuries. I don't think that anything is really significant, but you're talking about a guy who's 6 foot 221 and runs a 4.33 40. So I know it's really tough to read the tea leaves and figure out which guy might go ahead and have a big year. If Christian McCaffrey, who until last year has always missed time each and every year, which guy you're going to want to get. But I like Garendo a lot. But the guy that I've been taking a look at is Bucky Irving. Did not have a great combine. Ran a 4.55 40. unlike Grendel that I was just talking about, he's only 5'9", 192. However, Rashad White had just a huge workload last year, 336 touches. That's a lot to me. So I think they're going to want to reduce his workload. But Bucky Irving, I think, is going to be the backup right away. So where I'm talking about different guys that are going to need a few injuries and aren't the immediate backup, Bucky Irving looks like he's right there. Can catch passes and had, you know, a bunch of 1,000-yard seasons. 2,000-yard seasons his last 2 years at Oregon, which obviously with Bo Nix was a great offense to play in. But Bucky Irving, I think, might be a little bit of a diamond in the rough. But it is, I think, going to be a rough year, unlike with the wide receivers, who I think are going to make an immediate impact amongst the rookies. I think it's going to be much tougher to see some of these rookie running backs. But we all know that one or two guys is going to go ahead and make an impact. As far as fantasy goes,
I wanted to ask you about Dallas because I don't know that we're talking about their offense enough. I mean, they're set to go out there with Rico Dowdle and the ghost of Ezekiel Elliott as their starting running back pair, and maybe Elliott has the edge at the position right now to start. CeeDee Lamb hasn't practiced all summer. What do you make of that offense in a very important year for Dak Prescott? But largely, I would say the entire franchise, you know, I mean, their head coach is probably, if they don't make it back to the playoffs and have at least a decent amount of success, win a game or two, I would think he's gone. So, like, what do you make of that offense right now? And if CeeDee Lamb does sign the extension, you know, he's going to walk into the season not having really any summer preparation.
I think he'll be just fine. I mean, him and Dak have had a good enough rapport, as we saw last season, that I'm not really too concerned about it. I think Jerry Jones would be silly, and I think this is going to get worked out. When we look at guys that aren't happy right now, Ja'Marr Chase falls into there too, I believe. I don't think he's really nursing an injury. They haven't really said why he's missed the last week. But if you look at CeeDee Lamb, I think they're going to get this ironed out and figured out before week one. I think he's going to be just fine. But, yeah, it's a lot of players that you're taking a look at. I have no interest in Ezekiel Elliott, if I'm being honest. You're talking about a guy that hasn't averaged, you know, 4 yards a carry. Maybe he gets the goal line work. I mean, he should get the goal line work. I would rather take somebody like a Rico Dowdle and take a chance on a guy who's younger and, in my opinion, has more upside. But nobody's, as you said, it's being very quiet. Maybe the guy that people should be taking a look at, we were talking about tight ends earlier, is Jake Ferguson, because I think he can make a big impact. And if something does happen and Lamb's not out there week one or week two, I think that Ferguson might go ahead and get some more of those targets. I've always been a big fan of Brandon Cooks. I've never really understood, as a 30-year-old, why he's been with like five, six different teams. I mean, he just keeps getting passed around the league. This used to be a guy that consistently got 1,000 yards as long as he got the targets. Last year, 8 receiving touchdowns. So I'm not adverse to going ahead and taking care of him. He's dealing with a knee injury. It's not supposed to be significant. But if you're looking for a fourth wide receiver, why not take Brandon Cooks, especially given the fact that there's not a lot of options to go ahead and get these targets. Jalen Tolbert, not a bad guy to go ahead and take as well. So there's a lot of questions, I think, right now with this offense. But again, I do think that they'll go ahead and get stuff worked out with Lamb before week one. I think he's going to get a ton of targets. But we're also going to see some of these guys, one of those guys, kind of emerge. I would like Cooks better. But maybe, again, it could be Jake Ferguson who goes ahead and gets some more targets this season.
Yeah, Cooks, 6 touchdowns in his last 8 games last year. So a little touchdown dependent, but he was definitely more involved later in the year. Kevin Payne, RotoWire, always appreciate the time, Kevin. We got to get you to a Bills game. We just got to make sure that Cowboys game is not the last one at the stadium that you go to, because that'd be tough.
Yeah, no. And I also should add that actually wasn't the last Bills game. I cannot make this up. I went to the Jacksonville game a few seasons ago when they were 2 touchdown. I went down to Jacksonville.
Wow.
They were 2 touchdown favorites and they lost. Those have been the last 3 games I've been to. I completely forgot about that because that was
the Urban Meyer game.
Yes, that wasn't at the stadium, but those have been the last 3 games I've been to.
Maybe we should keep you away. It feels like things don't go well when you're there.
Exactly.
It's just coincidence, I'm sure. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the time.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Kevin Payne, check him out at KCPayne26. His content on RotoWire as your drafts are getting nearer. I've got one tonight. I mentioned before we hit a timeout, we'll get back to some calls on BMAZ's topic from down the hall. of what's your favorite moment at the stadium, and do you think it could be topped in the next 2 years, in the final two seasons at the stadium? Nate, I drafted Tua last night. I don't think I've ever done that anywhere in fantasy ever. I drafted Tua.
Will Levis.
Over Will Levis.
Interesting, okay. Wouldn't have done that.
I'll explain it in two parts here. One, I wanted the stack. FFPC draft, you're going for your upside, sure. Right? So I had Tyreek Hill was my first round pick.
Okay.
So, and it's super flex. You need two quarterbacks. So I'm like, all right, you know what? Let me do the Tua stack. Tua and Tyreek Hill. Let me double up on that production. The other reason I did it is, I don't know, I feel like, isn't it probably a little smart to buy insurance against your own takes? Like, I don't think Tua's good. I think Tua he's fine. He's an average quarterback that is dramatically propped up by his coach, his system, and his wide receivers.
Okay.
And I think he's going to regress this year. I think
so too.
Defenses are going to have a better answer for how to take away.
I don't even think that, Joe.
What they do well this year versus last year. But I guess they're
going to run the balls effectively.
And they're not going to run the balls effectively. But I guess what I'm doing is I'm buying insurance against that. My thought that, No, they're going to regress. Maybe they won't. Maybe they won't regress. Maybe he'll lead the league in passing again.
And if you're right, then you just lose money and say that you're right.
Exactly. If I'm wrong about Tua, then
You'll make some money. But even if you are wrong, he's still not a very good fantasy quarterback.
I know. That's why I was really struggling with it. Like, it was late enough. It was like the fifth round in Superflex. So, like, it was fine. You've got him in our one dynasty league, don't you?
No, I traded him.
You traded him away?
Yeah,
that's a good point, though, about, like, he doesn't run at all. So last year, Tua leads the league in passing, right? Led the league in passing yards. Do you want to know where he finished amongst fantasy quarterbacks?
14th. 17th.
Actually, I guess it depends how you do it. Total, he was 9th. But by average, he was 19th.
Okay.
That was the league's leading passer, he was 19th in per game, fantasy points per game. Now, see, I'm talking myself out of what I did last night. Because is that the ceiling? Doesn't it feel like that is kind of the ceiling?
I would say he's not going to have a better season passing than he did last year. He's not going to... What if leading the league in passing yards doesn't get you into the top five?
Yeah.
He's not going to see the top five as a quarterback because he gives you nothing in the run game at all.
Yeah, 4,600 yards passing, 29 passing touchdowns, 14 interceptions. 14 interceptions, by the way. What is that? Two less than Allen had?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rushing. He had 74 yards rushing last year. He just doesn't run the ball. He is. As immobile a starting quarterback as you get in today's NFL. No? He is as immobile as you get.
Yeah, I would say that's right.
803-0550 is the phone number. What's your favorite moment being at the Bills Stadium? Highmark Stadium, New Era Field, the Ralph, Rich Stadium, whatever it was when you were there. What's your favorite moment? And do you think it could be topped in the next 2 years? Heading into a weekend, weather's nice, sun's out. Good vibes. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary. This is WGR.
My hope is to get the starters out there early in the game, get them some exposure, and the importance of it to me is how valuable the night before prep is. Waking up in the morning, we have a 1 o'clock kick. We got a lot of those this year. So just the body readiness, you know, the plan behind this camp was to practice early so that we can have that readiness.
Panthers head coach Dave Canales on the plans for tomorrow's game. You're going to see Bryce Young on the field. 1 o'clock kickoff, Bills and Panthers. You can listen to the game here on WGR. Hey, congratulations to Joseph K. from Depew for winning our last Friday foursome at Diamond Hawk Golf Course, a $25 Encore golf gift card, plus a box of Encore golf balls and a membership to Club Encore. Check out Friday Foursome. Head over to WGR550.com to enter. 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary on your favorite moment from the stadium as we're closing in, final 2 years. Tomorrow, the second-to-last preseason game. I think, right? They're only going to have one next year at home. So two preseason games left at the stadium, one tomorrow. Nate in Williamsville is next. What's up, Nate?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy Friday. So I think it was clarified with the person I talked to first. It was 2022's home opener against the Titans, the defending AFC champion Titan, or one seed Titan.
One seed, yeah. Yep.
And they came out. It was 7-7, I think, early, and there was kind of this sense of, like, who's this team going to be? And they just beat the brakes off the Titans that day. I think we saw Malik Willis by the third quarter. Josh was wearing a ball cap. Diggs had three touchdowns. We had a Titans fan in our section who was trying to talk his mess in the first quarter after Henry scored. And, you know, he got quickly silenced and was pretty much a victim of the mob, essentially, for the next three quarters and had to leave early. I mean, I don't know if the vibes had ever been higher coming off that 2021 campaign when it was, you know, so close. And then really, like, getting back into the stadium and seeing what the first look of the team looked like. And they were as sharp as any team I'd seen. So, just a great moment. And I got the tickets as a gift for Christmas, brought my best friend. It was just an incredible day.
I'm at that game. That's a great thing. Thanks, Nate, for the call. It's a great game. It's a night game. They trounced the Titans. Diggs had a couple of deep touchdowns in that game. Yeah, that's a very, very good one. Regular season, recent. Like, I know I talked about New England and some of the playoff games, other than New England being kind of a letdown. But regular season, I mean, there have been some classics at the stadium, right? In the last couple of years? They haven't beat Kansas City there. They haven't got the chance really to play them.
The Giants.
Giants what? Last year? Yeah. That was not not the answer I was expecting.
It was a classic.
In
a couple of ways.
Hey, beating your former quarterback on the last play.
Yeah.
You could do worse. They only scored 14 points in that game, though. The Titans game, 41-7. They beat Pittsburgh 38-3 that year. Gabe Davis, 99-yard touchdown, 98-yard touchdown, whatever it was.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Okay, I got one from that year. I don't know if I call it my best moment. Maybe it'd be top 10. The Miami game. Later in the year, field goal at the end to win it, right? Tyler Bass,
they
it was
go
a
down.
Short one.
Yep.
It was snowing at the end of the game. There was snow in the stadium at the beginning of the game. And that's the snowball game.
I was at that game, sitting up in like the top row of the 300s.
Okay.
It was cold up there because the wind was just whipping up the stands.
You were
It was great.
You were a part of the group probably that was raining snowballs upon me in like the eighth row of the 100 level.
Definitely not.
Because that was happening. I was getting hit with snowballs because people in the 300s thought they had the arm strength to get it all the way to the Dolphin sidelines, and they very much did not have the arm strength.
It was so cold, though. This one, like, you know how everyone bangs the back of the bleachers to make noise?
Yep.
One guy was doing that, and the bleachers broke. That's how cold it was up there. Like,
yeah,
the plastic or whatever that was holding it together just broke.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of like, oh.
So let me throw in and say that last year's Pittsburgh Steeler playoff game.
Yep.
The Shakir play, the Allen run.
The Allen run's pretty good for this. 50 yards.
That's a really good
but
one. It's too recent.
It's not even
it's
that.
The last game.
It's the last game at the stadium.
No, Kansas City.
Kansas City. There was no stress involved, though, right?
Against Pittsburgh? It got close.
I know it got close, but I don't know. It's not the same when you go into a game expecting to dominate the other team. Right? You want the surprise element. That's what made, you mentioned, the first game you mentioned was 2011 against New England in week 3.
Yeah.
And what is a big part of that game? It is, holy cow, can you believe they beat Brady and the Patriots?
Yeah.
It was everyone showed up to the game that day expecting to lose. And then they won on the last drive. Pittsburgh is, everyone thought they were going to beat the Steelers by 30.
Yeah.
So when they beat them by 20.
Put some respect on Mason Rudolph, please.
It was like golf clap. Golf clap for that game. The New England game, the security took the field goal post down because they thought fans were going to climb on the field and take the field goal post down.
That did happen.
By the way, again, we're too young for these games. Those, I'm surprised no one's called in to bring those up yet. Best moment at the stadium, aren't some fans, I'm sure, some fans are going to answer when they broke the drought against Miami, and then the fans went out on the field and climbed on the goalposts.
Kyle Williams touchdown.
Okay, wait, against Miami? That's in Miami.
No. It was at home.
That's against Miami. You're thinking of when he caught a pass from Josh Allen.
I'm thinking of the dive.
No, that's in Miami. That's the Tyler Boyd game. They win in Miami. They go to the locker room.
And Bills fans from that stadium watch.
Yeah, you're right. No, I think again, I'm kind of surprised this hasn't come up yet. But there's two of them. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. I believe there are two different games where fans have climbed on the goalpost when they broke the drought against the Dolphins in the 80s, and then another one maybe when they won the division for the first time in a while. Someone that was there, Colin, tell me if I'm wrong on that front. Any good tweets on this? The Winter Classic has got a lot of good nominations for it. 8030550, Scott in South Buffalo, actually, who was on hold. He was at the Fandemonium game. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, I was at that game. When we took the goalpost down, we took the one leg outside the stadium across the street and we cut it up into little pieces.
And passed it out?
Yeah.
Do you have your piece?
Somebody actually took it from me, but I did have the top piece of the goalpost, too.
All right. So was it immediate that everybody charged on the field?
No, everybody was kind of building up on the stairs. Then all of a sudden, one section went, and then we all went.
Okay, so it was like, all right, they did it, so now we're good to go?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right.
Great game, though.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. What year, by the way?
What year was that?
It's in the 80s, though, right?
Yeah, in the 80s. Miami game, right?
All right.
Yeah. 80s. What was it? 85, 86?
All right. Thanks, Scott, for the call.
All right.
Yeah. These types of memories, these ones, I feel like are tough to top. I think my best memory at the stadium could be topped in the next year or two, but you're not beating that. That's going to be that guy, Scott. I bet it would tell. We should ask him. That's going to be number one. You go on the field, you take the goalpost down, and then not only that, he's got the added story of they took it outside and sawed it up and passed out.
Someone
different
was like,
pieces.
Hey, like,
you're not topping that in the next 2 years.
Who's got the hacksaw in the hammer's lot? Anyone in the hammer's lot have a hacksaw?
Yeah, I got one.
I've got one ready to go.
I brought one.
Someone had it in the back of their truck, right? Lisa in Fredonia maybe also was at that game. What's up, Lisa?
Yeah, I was at the game the first time they took the goalpost down. I think Norwood had made a kick to clinch the AFC East, I think it was, in forever. And my friends all stormed the field, and my friend Danny was hanging from the goalpost, and they tore it down. But the fun part about that game that I remember so much was that they took the crossbar part off and lifted up into the seat part, and they passed the crossbar around hand-to-hand-to-hand in a circle and a wave around the stadium. So nobody left. Everybody was there, and that crossbar was just being passed around. It was so fun, circling the stadium afterwards. And then years later, at my son's wedding, I introduced my friend Danny to my son's father-in-law, who was hanging off the same crossbar. Oh, I was hanging off that crossbar, too, before they tore it down. So it was a very fun memory.
All right. Thanks, Lisa, for the call. Great, great stuff.
Yep.
I just got an idea that just triggered in my mind. Maybe this is a dangerous idea. Nate, you tell me if I'm wrong. Shouldn't the last game at the stadium next year be this? The result of the game might have to go well. Shouldn't they let fans go out on the field and tear down the goalposts?
And take like seats.
Is that a bad idea?
I don't know about
rip seats out.
Take whatever you want.
No, that's I don't I'm not saying that. I don't want looting. At the stadium, by the way, that game, let's look at 80s football. 1988, the Bills win the 88 AFC East Championship, and fans run out on the field, and a game-winning field goal for the Bills to win by a score of 9-6.
Nail-biter.
9-6 caused that reaction? It was the division. All right, Nate's already poked holes in my idea. I think maybe we shouldn't do this.
Go up there with a flathead screwdriver and try to peel off some of the Wall of Fame names. Like I want the B and or I want the H in Hull. or the T in Thurman.
Okay, now you're defiling the names on the names on the stadium.
They're saying come on.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying go on the field, not climb up the walls and steal things off the walls.
I want one of the flags. I want the Titans flag from the top of the stadium. Remember when they used to have every team?
I do remember that, yeah.
I don't think they do that anymore.
They're all Bills flags now.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
They used to have every team up there.
Yeah, they should have all the teams back. Why do we need 32 Bills flags? One each.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't need people climbing up. This is not a hotel where you take the little shampoos at the end of it.
It seems like that could be a good idea, though.
Because that's actually what I'm saying. Go in the hotel. I'm saying take the little shampoos if you want. You're like taking the lamp.
I mean, my buddy's dad.
Or taking the art off the wall.
My buddy's dad, I mean, he bought them in an auction, but my buddy's dad has four seats from the orange upper deck at the Odd. In his game room.
Yeah, I have an orange seat. I have an orange seat from the Odd too, but it wasn't stolen from the arena.
No,
it was bought.
Stolen. You go in and you ask, hey, can we take some seats and give them, let them take it
that's
off themselves.
Not,
here's some tools. Take your.
That's not.
Should season ticket holders get to take their seats if they want them?
Especially if they're buying $10,000 PSLs.
Yeah.
If we're being honest.
I feel like they should be able.
You get to
take
your seat with you. Yeah, I like it. Take your seat with you. But it's got to be more organized than you rip. The game ends and everyone starts ripping the seats out of the stands and walking out of the stadium with the
seats. I mean, no one's ripping them out. No one's got, you know.
Well, you got people with screwdrivers and
hacksaws.
Hacksaws.
I don't think that's getting past security, though.
Yeah, probably not. Exceno Sports when we come back here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, heading into the weekend, college football back, Premier League also.
We're big back.
Let's go. Sports are back.
Sports.
Bills and Panthers tomorrow, 1 o'clock. We'll have coverage throughout the morning here on WGR. Good luck to Joe Andreessen. We'll be rooting for him. Another great game. I think he's probably on the roster. And then wide receiver. Justin Shorter and Tyrell Shavers. It'll be the two names I'm watching the most. And KJ Hamler.
Daquan Hardy in the return game. Let's see it.
Okay. He didn't get a glowing endorsement from McDermott this week about it, so he might have some work to do.
Hey, better endorsement than Condre Miller got.
Yeah. Very quickly on that. Kendre Miller, the running back of these New Orleans Saints, who has not been healthy all offseason, his coach said, he's talented. I've never seen it. wish I could get a look at it. He has been hurt a lot, but man, what a shot in the media.
Yeah, just tossing double middle fingers at him.
He might
get
cut. That was a top 90 pick, I think, last year.
Send him our way.
I like Kendre Miller. I don't know if he could stay. If he could stay healthy, that's a nice player. Could be a nice player. All right, that's going to do it for us. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Be back on Monday into college football season when we talk to you next. Hopefully we get an upset. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll talk to you on Monday. Stay tuned for the Extra Point Show on the way next here on WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.